In high school, I had a great art teacher, and she said, you know, I don't see you really digging painting or really, you know, printmaking was kind of cool. But she's like, let me put you on this Mac with Adobe Creative Suite and see what you can do.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. It has been so exciting driving state to state across the U.S. from Los Angeles to New York. And now I am in Asheville, North Carolina. What with incredible Dina. Hello. Thank you for being so flexible.
No problem. I want to get my enthusiasm up. You are great.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it is really, really, really exciting to be celebrating these fantastic women in tech across the U.S. Such a huge thank you to Kia for this amazing mobile podcasting studio. I did not lie, right? The seats are cold.
Yeah,
and you were saying your husband loves another model, Kia. Which
one? Sportage.
The Sportage.
Yeah.
I don't know much about the Sportage, but I've been saying that if you can't afford a proper mobile, a proper podcasting studio in general, you should definitely check out the Niro Touring because like the sound quality is off the chains. Like when you hear your episode, you're going to be like, I can't believe we were sitting in a Kia for that.
And it was so comfortable.
Enjoying. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So let's start from the very beginning. Go ahead and introduce everybody to who you are and tell them a little bit about what you do.
My name is Dina Rutter, and I have been in Asheville for the past 8 years working as a graphic designer with many groups in town. I've, you know, had a background in agency work, and I've kind of moved into the freelancing realm, and I really love it because I've just been collaborating. I specialize in really just taking really complex data and, you know, messaging and making it visually appealing.
Yeah.
And simplifying everything. That's really my jam. And that ranges from branding to infographics to a lot of, I do a lot of nonprofit work.
So. I actually have a strong emotional connection to what you're talking about because with We Are LA Tech, the organization I run in Los Angeles, we have, an issue where we have like a lot of incredible, we're a well-respected brand to immerse yourself into the LA tech industry. However, in the 5 years that I've been running We Are LA Tech, somehow I've managed to develop something like 15 websites the brand.
Yeah.
And so even though it's wearelatech.com, it's not really wearelatech.com. It's like the We Are LA Tech here, you know, that's being powered by Squarespace or being powered by like Typeform. So I'm currently in the process of sorting out, like, how am I going to fix this UI UX problem I have? And so I love that you say, like, I take data and make sense of it from a front end point of view, because it is, I can't tell you, I mean, you already know this, but you guys, it is so confusing for people to understand what it is that the actual value is of We Are LA Tech from just our social presence, because we don't have the right UI UX setup. So that you solve this solution for people is vital in growing a company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And really just like, how do we make this the most approachable?
Right.
You don't want to overwhelm people because attention spans are so small these days.
Totally.
if you lose them on the landing page.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
You've got to really work on.
Tell them what a landing page is, just in case.
Okay, so a landing page is just how you get to your website. And, you know, you can have several landing pages that take you to the website, but it's just where you land.
Right.
And what you read to make you want to go in more.
Totally. So I want to get into a lot of stuff. I want to get into when you first discovered technology and what made you fall in love with it. I want to get into being a driven, powerful woman and also being a mother. I want to get into a lot of stuff. Let's start at the beginning. When did you first fall in love with the tech space?
So I guess my love of kind of like bridging art into design and kind of into the, you know, design suite was in high school. I had a great art teacher and she said, you know, I don't see you really digging painting or really, you know, printmaking was kind of cool. But she's like, let me put you on this Mac with Adobe Creative Suite and see what you can do. And so I kind of started using the software then and I knew I wanted to go to college for visual communication design and kind of get, I went to Ohio State for that degree and it was a Bachelor of Science and it was really theory driven. And so, you know, we were on our computer every day, and I feel like I just learned to kind of keep up with times now.
Yeah.
I feel like post, you know, that was 10 years ago that I graduated, but I've just been, you know, going to conferences and really trying to stay on top of what design looks like now and how it's changing.
And what would you say, how is the Asheville, North Carolina tech community doing? What's going on here?
I feel like there's a lot of interest. We are a city where there are a lot of people transplanting here from bigger cities that have those communities. So I just feel like, you know, over the last 8 years, I've seen people move here and have energy to kind of build that community. And there have been a lot more gatherings. There's a lot of just infrastructure being laid right now,
I think,
to allow for, you know, co-working spaces to kind of pop up here and there. And then also just, you know, that collaboration is so key to a community like Asheville because we have a lot of solopreneurs. And so just creating spaces and meetups
is,
I think, going to really help things move forward in the community.
Completely. And you're a mom.
That's right.
Yeah. And you're a driven, powerful woman in tech. How do you balance the two?
Man, I feel like I'm still learning and I have a 1-year-old. So I've just been really, I don't know, I made a lot of groundwork. I laid a lot of things out before having a baby. So I felt like my collaborations were going to be really efficient. I knew who I was going to be collaborating with. I had been freelancing a couple years prior to having a baby, and I think that really helped because I knew what kind of projects I wanted to take, and I knew what kind of meetings I could attend and what days. And so I've worked with great teams like Craft Peak and Full Steam Labs that just really know that my availability is limited. I've kind of put out some parameters and they're great. They work to get clients on my schedule to meet. And, you know, the collaboration happens with, you know, a lot of slacking and a lot of things like that for me now because I'm not able to be there in person as much. But it's hard. I mean, it's hard, you know, taking a daughter to daycare and just being like, oh, I've got to.
What kind of tips would you recommend to, you said you did planning before you became a mother to be a mother. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that before. What kind of tips would you recommend for, everyone listening?
I did a lot of business consulting to kind of see where I wanted the business to go in the next 2 to 3 years, because I wanted to be realistic. You know, I'm not going to be trying to grow my business significantly when I have something that I want to be nurturing. So, other than my business. So what I did was I really looked at my existing client base and just really made sure I secured our relationships and knew that they would kind of continue to be my client through early motherhood, like through maternity leave. And they were great. They stuck, you know, with me. And so it was just work that I could like depend on, really steady work. And then slowly I've just kind of had a vision for what type of new clients I want to take. Really stuck to, you know, the ideal client.
Totally.
And not gone outside of that because that can be really time consuming. And
you talked a lot about collaborations and that's a big part of your business. What types of organizations are you collaborating with?
So I work with organizations, a lot of nonprofits in the area as kind of their marketing person. I assist their marketing person and we team up. And so a lot of times they have, you know, solutions they need for outreach tools and websites and all different sorts of outreach. And I kind of help them in guiding what that should look like as a big picture item, but also just, you know, branded really consistently. And I feel like they rely on me to kind of help strategize, like, you know, is this where we want to be going with our marketing? Right. And so.
But there was a particular organization you were telling me about. Is Farm...
Oh, Full Steam Labs? Okay.
Yeah.
So they are a digital agency in town, and I love them because they focus on social justice work, and they work with a lot of nonprofits, and I team up with them, and I'm just very comfortable with their team. They have a great developer. They're into visual storytelling
right.
and things that I'm really interested in. So, yeah, I've always just enjoyed, I think for the past 4 years, I've collaborated with them.
And you've brought up a lot, like, how important it is to tell a story and make sure that your website and your brand has a very clear communication of value. What kind of tips can you give us? Like, if you could just say two things that everybody listening right now can think about after leaving this episode in order to improve their brands, what would those two things be?
I think if you could just really focus on your tone and what you want that first impression to be.
Right.
And really not get lost in all of the text that you want to have on that page. I think if you strategize and like, what's my main message here that's going
right.
to pull people in and have a visual approach that matches that, I think that can be so powerful to not overcrowd. And I think I see that a lot is where people try to do too much on their first page. So simplify. And then I would say that just really putting attention into details of
right.
like having your own photography and having things that are real,
right?
I think stands out so much in the web space today because I just feel like I constantly see too much stock photography
and
stuff that lacks emotion from real people. And so I just would push people to say, hey, why don't you get, you know, a photographer in and take pictures of the great work you're doing? Because these other people are just... So, yeah.
I love it. So out of college, first of all, where did you go to college?
I went to university at The Ohio State University, and I studied a little bit in Berlin while I was there. But for the majority of my schooling, I was in Columbus, Ohio.
And then somehow you made it from Columbus, Ohio to China after college.
Yeah, I pretty much took a job right out of college as a package designer for an American candy company. And I had a Chinese design team. And so being pretty young, I was put in a position where I was leading a design team designing packaging.
And first of all, how did you even find that opportunity?
I call her my angel. She was just kind of on our couch in my college house. And she was going through a breakup. And she's like, you know, you're graduating with a visual communication design degree. I'm pretty sure that my cousin's looking for someone who could do packaging design.
In China.
And so... Unfortunately, I had this job already lined up at the university, but I was like, I can't turn this down. I'm
right.
going to go on an adventure. And so it was a great choice. I was there for a year and a half.
And what did you learn about yourself and about design in that time there?
I learned about how much I was influenced by my outside surroundings, because I slowly started to notice that as I was doing packaging, I was kind of pulling in some traditional Chinese like motives and motifs and textures into my designs. And I was like, kind of, you know, interested in what was going on there for my design eye to kind of shift a little bit. But it was just really interesting to be kind of in that international sphere.
And packaging design, isn't that normally just a box? Like, what is packaging design and why is that so important?
Well, I think what I really enjoyed about it was that each package I did kind of had its own brand that I had to kind of pull in the name of the product and you know, kind of like what you were faced with initially on the shelf and how that works. And I studied it in college and I really learned about how much of it is just kind of the science of what grabs your eye. And it's so much what I do now in a way, because, you know, I'm working on a web page, for example, where you land and like what really pulls your eye. So, it was just really trying to make a big impact amongst a sea of other products.
I've never been to China. That sounds like an amazing life experience. What's one observation for our fellow, you know, community that have never been to China, something that you would say, like, you really need to check out China because?
Yeah, I think that it's just so great for people to go and kind of push themselves in a different culture. China specifically has a really great sense of community and like kind of this... I think it's a friendliness that everyone just has towards each other. And I felt like they were so welcoming to me. And, you know, I visually looked very different. And I think there was just this idea, you know, an excitement of being a foreigner.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of pulled into things that maybe other people wouldn't be invited into, but it was just really eye-opening for how, you know, someone on the other side of the world does things.
For sure. And what would you say is one way that you overcome challenges? I mean, I think I can't even imagine, because I'm single and don't have children, I can't even imagine having the responsibility and balancing it all. So how do you overcome challenges on those days that are just really, really difficult?
I think it's always just stepping back a bit and analyzing and making sure I know where the priorities need to be and not stressing too much about the things that I can't control.
Right.
I think with challenges, I often feel like I'm a victim and of things. And I'm like, wait a minute, you know, I can just kind of like remove myself slightly from the situation and get a better perspective to kind of take it on in a more direct way, or, you know, what really needs to be done here. And just have a fresh approach. Easy to overreact, I think, as a mom too, right away.
I know. I bet. So protective, and you're like, what am I going to do about this?
Also new. Yeah.
What's one way that you feel most comfortable people connect with you and say hello?
So
on Twitter, Instagram, email?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. And also I love just like, you know, emailing, or if someone wants to call to see what the scene's like in Asheville, I try to pick up and talk with them.
Can you share with them?
Sure. Yeah. So my email is dina@drudderdesign.com. And you can just email me there. And if you want to call me, should I get my digits out?
You know, someone has, and it was really cool. On the We Are LA Tech podcast, shout out to the creator of MC App. He gave out his number. He's a really skilled mobile app developer. Gave out his number, and he said, I don't have a problem giving out my number because I know most people don't even use it. And he ended up getting a couple calls, just a couple, and people tweeted like how amazing the mentoring session was. It was really, he's like, I'm so glad you actually took the time to call.
Well, I love that idea of like, if someone's really wanting to reach out. That
but it's surprising. We have thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners. And it's strange that out of all these people, only one will call or something, you know, like interesting. It's,
So yeah, I will give my number. It's 419-308-0514. But yeah, I'm having a hard time keeping up with Twitter these days. I feel like it's been a ignored a side of my social sphere.
And one thing, Carl, our amazing teammate, Carl, not to include is don't even put Dina's number in the show notes. Just if someone's listening, you got to press the rewind button right now to get the number. Everything else will go in the show notes, but you got to press rewind for the phone number. What kind of like parting message do you want to leave with everyone about, you know, being a powerful female and taking charge of your life and creating the life that you want to live in, your dream world?
Well, I do think that it's all about lifestyle design for us ladies.
And, oh my God, amen. And I totally.
I feel like that is something that I don't want to wait until, you know, my 40s or 50s to focus on.
Totally.
I really want to make sure that I have the lifestyle now, in that with a child that I feel like I'm providing in the ways I want to and can be with her as much as I want to. So I would just like push women everywhere to find people that respect you and find positions that are flexible like that and realize your value, and you can bring it all. It's just a little bit more flexible.
Thank you so much for taking your time with the Women in Tech podcast. Is there anything you wanted to say that you feel like you didn't say yet?
No, I think this was great. Thank you for coming out.
Yay! You guys, if you want to connect with more extraordinary women in tech, make sure to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group, which is at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Takes you straight to the Facebook group. I will talk to you guys. See you guys. Oh my gosh, I'm almost forgetting. Oh, okay. Compass bracelet. 1935. This is for you. This is really, really cool. So you guys, this is 1935. This is cork imported from Portugal that's made to look like gender neutral leather. It's handmade by female founder in Wilmington, North Carolina. And it's called shareyourcompass.com. The point of this is I give it to you. You share your story of how you received it on shareyourcompass.com. And then within 2 weeks, you give it to a woman who's in tech who really inspires you.
Nice.
She shares her story on Share Your Compass. And then she gives it to a woman in tech who really inspires her within 2 weeks. And it just keeps going down. And you could track 1935. And then you can meet people along the way.
Wow.
Really cool, right?
Yeah.
So, and Share Your Compass is on the back. So you have that. And then, of course, we have the Women in Tech stickers. You have like all the three cool ones. Awesome. This is my favorite one, the die cut one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But who will you be giving your compass bracelet to?
Well, I have a real special lady in mind. Her name is Patty Allman, and she's here in Asheville. And she's been rocking the tech scene for over 15 years, and she's just been such an inspirational female for me, kind of like a mentor in the industry.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, she's doing great things around town, and I think she'll be excited to kind of get this bracelet. Yay! And pass it on to similar women. So,
and where do you happen to know where we could find Patty online?
Yeah, so her website is Treetop Interactive, and it's a great company here in town, and you'll be able to see all the great work they do. They're really awesome.
What do they do?
They do websites
cool.
And apps. So
awesome.
You'll see, like, they do things for, like, the National Children's Museum in D.C. And, yeah, they've been able to get a good reach from Asheville out nationally. So.
And 15 years in tech, that's a lot of history. Like, mm-hmm. She's seen a lot of changes and evolution and a lot of challenges. I'm sure her story is incredible.
Yeah, and she's moved cities. And I just think, yeah, she's definitely one of the most concrete, like, usability focused people I know.
Yeah.
And she's just someone I like to get together with and have it bleed off onto me as possible.
You make me want to go back to Asheville just to interview her. But I mean, I love Asheville. Like, it's been really cool. You have a lot of great artwork.
Oh, yeah. I think that comes from our craftsman background. I think there's always a lot of art in Asheville. And a lot of weird.
Trying to keep. That means I fit in. All right. I can't believe I almost forgot you guys. Okay. So I will talk to you guys. See you guys. Hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye from the mountains.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. We've been road tripping.
Yes.
There's three of us. We've slept in the car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We've taken it to campsites.
Wow.
Look, it has a sunroof.
Yeah.
That is like... so dope.
I'm not kidding. This is like really bizarre.
So dope.
Because Kia was my last stop on my car buying journey.
It's so dope.
But I was blown away. And this, I'm like, the stars are aligning.
Yeah. And the space in the back, super spacious. If I were to do a road trip again, I don't see me driving. And like the GPS working when there's no other cell reception, the heat and the cooled seats, depending on the temperature outside, just everything. This car is amazing.
This is incredible. It's so funny because we have an SUV and now. Yeah. I'm like, maybe we should be trading in our SUV and opting for the Niro as well. Maybe we'll go full Kia as a family. We do a lot of road tripping.
A huge thank you to Kia for powering this road trip series of the Women in Tech podcast.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.